Well, good morning, everybody. As you well know, my name is Nathan. I'm the pastor here at Genesis Boyne. But today, what I want to do is I want to take some time off from our Beginning of the End series to discuss a pretty hot topic that's been dominating the airwaves over the past few weeks. Because sometimes, you know, we have events that are so big. Man, Kevin, I'm a little echoey here. We have events that are so big, everybody is going to be talking about it. Everyone online is going to be talking about it. Everyone on TV is going to be talking about it. Everyone at work is going to be talking about it. And generally what happens is everyone's talking about it except for the church. And it's been really exciting to see a lot of the pastors that I've been talking to who are ready to address things, not just go on with business as usual, five songs and a sermon. Because if there's a place that we should be able to learn how to handle cultural conversations, it's the church. We should be equipping our Christians. We should be equipping each other with a spiritual plan on how to discuss these current events and how to discuss Christ in these current events. So today, we need to have a real conversation about the coronavirus. And how do we answer the question of, as Christians, how do we handle COVID-19? I'm still feeling just a little echoey up here. Okay, so that's kind of our big question. And I want to take this from two different angles. How do we handle it publicly, and how do we handle it personally? So let's just go ahead and start out with how do we handle the coronavirus personally? The easy answer, and you've been hearing this a lot, is the Bible is clear. As Christians, we are not supposed to be slaves to fear. In fact, the Bible has dozens of verses on fear because it's such a huge thing that we all struggle with. I'll give you just a few examples. John 14:27, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and peace of heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled and don't be afraid. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? And Psalm 23:4, that even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I'm not going to be afraid, for you are close beside me. You're my rod, you're my staff, you protect, you comfort me. And every time in the Bible it says, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. Unfortunately, we live in a culture that runs on fear. A lot of you guys know my undergrad is in mass media communication, so PR type stuff. And one of the first things that they teach you is fear sells. If you're scared, you'll watch more to find out why you're scared. You'll watch more so you can find out how you cannot be scared. But psychologically, what we most watch to find out is how we can become more scared. It's true. Everything is based around fear. And here's what's the wilder part. Nearly every statistic that our culture has says that we are more safe than ever before. Yet the same polls say that people feel less safe than before. That we actually worry more today than when the Spanish flu wiped out 10% of the population in the early 1900s. That we have more anxiety today than we had in the Great Depression. That we actually poll less, that we feel less safe than they felt in World War II. Isn't that crazy? Why do you think we feel so much more anxiety and fear than in any of those massive events? It's because of what is getting poured into our heads minute by minute from every single avenue. Because if you think about it, back in the early 1900s, they got a thing called a newspaper. Like a paper thing with words on it that you picked up. It was like five pages, and you got it once a day. So they got five pages of news one time a day. Now, studies show that most of us are getting through over 50 posts and websites before breakfast. The 24-hour news is crushing us every place we go. It's in the restaurants, it's in the hairstyle, it's in the tire-fixing places. It's everywhere, and it's crushing us. And the Bible says we need to beware, and we need to be willing to change unhealthy habits. So Proverbs 4:23. That we need to guard our hearts above everything else, for it determines the course of our lives. Matthew 5:29. If your right eye causes you to sin, you tear it out and you throw it away, because it is better for you to lose one member than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. So we have to be cautious to guard our eyes and guard our hearts, because the Bible says in multiple places, what you put into your life is what you're going to get out of it. Which means that fear that you are putting in every day is the fear that you are going to start wanting to put out. So we need to distance ourselves from things that enable our sin by encouraging us to fear. And for all of us, that's different. It's different things for different people. So if that means you need to step away from the 24-hour news cycle, maybe check it only once every 3 or 4 days. Maybe if it means you need to take a break from the social media stream, I don't know. That's for each and every single one of you guys to look at and determine for yourselves what can really exacerbate that fear. I know it would be hard, but it's definitely worth it for us to be able to keep our heads on straight, keep our minds clear, and keep our hearts focused on God. However, there are some times when it doesn't really matter what we're doing. That fear is still coming for us. And here's what the Bible says to do. Psalm 34, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all of my fears. So when we feel that anxiety building within us, here's what we do in two simple steps. You guys know this like the back of your hand. You pray about it and you do what God says. Now, if you pray and God says, oh man, I have lost control of everything, then you can panic. But since the Bible says, Colossians 1:17, that God is before all things, and in God all things hold together, I don't think you're going to get that chance to worry. Instead, when you pray, you're going to be reminded of something like this. Psalm 56:3, that when I'm afraid, I can put my trust in you. It's like, boom, that's it. We aren't supposed to be afraid of some virus, because we know the creator of the universe has things under control. And some of you guys might be like, yeah, but what happens if I get the coronavirus? Well, according to the most recent data, odds are you are going to get it. And odds are you also will probably live. But even if you don't, as Christians, we can't hang on to this life. Jesus says it this way, Matthew 16:25, that if we try to hang on to our life, do everything we can to hang on to this, we're going to lose it. But if we are willingly giving up our lives for his sake, that's when we get to save it. So we have to remember that as Christians, man, we have a mission. And that mission is to follow Christ no matter what the costs are. So if we hold on tightly to this life out of fear, Christ tells us, man, you're going to lose it because you have something so much bigger to go for. So yeah, I completely believe, elders met before, we all agree, it is very important for us to do our due diligence health-wise. Our elders fully encourage all of you guys to commit to, I can't believe I actually have to say this as an adult, but wash your hands. Use sanitizer. Keep regularly touch things clean. Stay home if you feel unwell. Like, we don't want to be foolish with our health, but we also don't want to be fearful of our health. So that's how we handle it personally. We need to distance ourselves from things that encourage fear in our lives. Second, we need to accept that something greater than life itself is in our hearts. And third, we need to remember that above all, our mission is to follow Christ and whatever he calls us to do. Which segues us perfectly into, how do we handle the coronavirus publicly? How do we handle it with other people? And we should have an answer for this, because, man, it is coming up. Like, out of curiosity, how many of you guys had a corona conversation this week? How many of you had, like, 10 conversations this week? Okay, there we go. So many of us talk about, man, it is so hard to stand out as a Christian. Today, God is giving us a huge opportunity to engage people. Because when the coronavirus is mentioned, we need to, 1 Peter 3:15, be prepared to give the reason for the hope that is within us. I'm sure you have noticed how many people are straight up scared. I have heard some hilarious stories of going to the grocery store this week. It's craziness out there. But how great would it be if every time the coronavirus came up, you were ready to give the reason, not for your fear, but for your hope? How much could it change lives if we're the ones who are like, you know, I'm not worried about it. In fact, I have something greater because I have hope. That's going to straight up stop some people in their tracks in this little panic, worried mind thing going on. They're going to be like, what do you got? You got some like secret stash of hand sanitizer. And it's like, no, I got salvation. Because guess what? I know this is going to blow your minds. But we're all going to die at some point. Be it corona or cancer or old age. But the world is actually thinking about it now. They're being forced to stop fruitlessly trying to fill their lives with busyness and stuff. They just waste their time running around from school to work to sports to entertainment. They're having to slow life down and stay inside and face the fact that one day they're going to die. And for many, many people, that petrifies them because this life is all that they have. They have to protect it, which means now is the time that we can talk about the fact that we don't fear death because we know John 3:16, that God so loved this world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So now is the perfect time that we can ask those around us because they're thinking about it. So what do you think will happen when you die? Because listen to me, guys. This world is sick. But it's not sick with the coronavirus. It's sick with the brokenness of man, and we've got the cure. The world is sick and the church is a hospital. We're not a place of entertainment. We are a place of worship. We can provide healing for the hurting. Unlike the rest of the world, we are not solely focused on helping our lives. We're solely focused on helping them live, not for like, 20 years. We're helping them live for eternity. This is a golden opportunity for us to engage, to share the gospel, to put our confidence in something greater, to show people that this life isn't what it's all about. So that's how we got to be reacting. We should be using every single corona conversation and turning it into a gospel conversation. We should be using every corona conversation as an opportunity for us to engage, to put our lights in, to shine our lights. And you might be thinking, yeah, I mean, that's great. I mean, I can totally start talking, but what happens if corona comes to Boyne? What happens when corona comes to my doorstep? That's when God really starts to move. That's when we gain the greater opportunity to set ourselves apart from the rest of this world. 1 Peter 3:17. It is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. So when this virus comes to Boyne City, when it comes to our homes, it means that we can take our love for the lost to the next level. Just as Christians have throughout history, if you've ever studied church history. During the Black Plague, killed nearly a third of the world's population. You know who was at the forefront for caring for those who were hurting, keeping the doors open and caring for those who were hurting? It was the church. The church was out there risking their lives to help for those in need. How about the bubonic plague? Killed half of Europe, every other person. You know who led the charge in providing support for the sick and keeping the doors open? It was the church. They were putting their lives on the line to love those who were helpless and hopeless. The church faced death to love on the hurting. The church was out there making the difference. The church was out there and it changed lives. Man, this city, this country, this world needs the church to be the church. Because when the rains come and the fickle sand that society is built upon starts breaking down, which it is, that's when the church can stand strong on the firm foundation of Christ. When society falls apart, the church is the one that comes together. When society runs away from disease, the church runs into the fray to help, because one day God is going to say to us, Matthew 25:40, I'll tell you the truth. When you did it for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it for me. So instead of us asking, how can I stay healthy? We should be asking, how can I seek and save those who are lost in this troubled time? In a world that's selfishly hoarding, the church can stand out by selflessly giving. And we have to be prepared to step up to the plate and engage this community. We're already starting to see kids who are out of school and don't have a place to stay. Offer care for them. We've already been seeing teens who don't have food because so many kids get their food through the school. We have to be willing to make some lunches or pick up the lunches from the school and make deliveries. We're going to see a lot of adults out of jobs. I'm already starting to see a lot of friends on Facebook without jobs because everything is shutting down. We have to sacrifice of our own excess, which we have so much of, to help them survive. But not only do we help, we make sure we are telling them why we're helping. Because just like Jesus, we don't want to give people bread for just a day, because then they're going to be hungry again. Yeah, we want to provide the bread, but we have something so much more important. We have someone who says, John 6:35, that I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry ever, ever again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And I guarantee you, in this time of panic, in this time of isolation, the more we go out and love on this community with a loaf of bread, the more people will become open to the bread of life. Yeah. You are going to be putting yourself at risk. But out of anybody, we shouldn't be fearing losing our bodies if we can help save someone's soul. Philippians 1:21. Because for us, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So when someone talks to you about the coronavirus, follow the words of Peter and be prepared to give the reason for the hope that is within you, the eternal hope that casts out fear. And when the coronavirus comes to our doorsteps, let Genesis Boyne be the one who mirrors the generosity of God to those around us. And let us tell this community why we sacrifice of ourselves. It's because Christ sacrificed himself for us. Let us not be slaves to fear, but instead let us use this opportunity to show the world who Christ is and what he's done for them. Let's pray. God, I pray that we do not live in fear. I pray that we have boldness. I pray that we do our best to take precautions, but that ultimately we don't live in a state of worry, in a state of closing ourselves off. I pray that we follow church history, that we are doing everything that we can to go out and seek and save those who are lost. I pray in a world right now that is making that delineation between nice and kind, that the nice is breaking down, the facade is breaking down, that this church is kind, that this church, it is in their nature to care for others. And I pray that people come to know you because of this. I pray that dozens, hundreds, thousands of people come to know you. And I pray that the church be the church. The church be your body to this community. The churches around this state, that around this country, or around this world are willing to stand up and follow your call. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.